So what do you think of that gospel, folks? How would you like to preach on that tonight to this crowd? I'm going to do it anyway. Let me give a little report about Africa first. I missed last Sunday. I was back, actually, from Africa, and most of the folks were back that Sunday afternoon. But I have a class reunion, if you can imagine that. I still have a class. And we meet for a couple of days every year, and so that was Sunday night, and so I missed a little report back. But corner, and you make the corner turn, and the church is about two blocks from that, and it's a gigantic thing that should have been closed, was closed actually about 20 years ago, but they just continue to dump the garbage of the city on it. So it's out onto the streets, it's on the side, it's everywhere, and it's a horrible blight on the human condition. And these kids live on top of the dump. These are kids that are orphaned or have no families or come from very abused situations, and they're living. And what they do is they pick little pieces of things off the dump each day. They 70 at a time, 70 per year, and gives them, first gets them clean, sober, clean, gets them off the glue, gets them into a foster home, so they have a place to go. These are kids 6, 7 years of age up to teenage years. And then brings them to a school. So it really is a life-saving station. It changes their lives. It saves their lives. So we're there. Visiting, chatting, talking. And one of our, Taboma, I noticed him because they're really bright colored. As he walked out, he had the shoes that were torn and filthy and hardly in contact. And he was wearing those shoes. I said, "Luke, what happened?" And he said to me, he was sitting next to a teenage kid who admired his shoes in Boma. He took his shoes off and gave them to that kid. And then put to come to know what that life is about. To come to walk and to carry, help carry their burden as they help us. So, once again, an extraordinary experience and a great blessing. And they send a love that's beyond telling to this community. And of course, we send that love. Pretty negative stuff, you know. Nothing is good except service, love of God. Well, this guy was under the Persian invasion in Israel, so he was really beat up. So it's literally just the voice of a guy who's really struggling because his God is somewhat distanced now. There is no more relationship in that land. It's just a horrible time. So For this man in Ecclesiastes, he's expressing this great, "My brother, to give me more." And Jesus says, "Hey, brother, I'm not a judge. I'm not an arbiter." There it is. But then he says, there's a man, woman, and they have all kinds of wealth and excess and abundance. And they're so excited about that. So what do? They build a bigger place. Does it sound familiar? So we can store more. And our God that night calls this person to himself. Looks 21st century, 32 families from a variety of life situations. All kinds of different families, all two folks, working families, trying to live out their lives. And this is what they found. They found that we are buried under a staggering number of possessions. Duh. An array of unused spaces, stacks of clutter, and entire walls devoted to displays of Beanie Babies, whatever they are, and other toys. So, they talk a lot about the life of children in relationship with the family, and that's for 1,000 years, intellectually modern human people have planted and enveloped the universe, but never before has any society accumulated so many personal possessions. Managing all of this stuff takes a physical toll, especially on the women, who report elevated levels of stress hormones. And finally, many families who invested in creating beautiful outdoor spaces in that group were too busy to use them. Now, that may not be your situation. You know, some of you are living little places, apartments. But I'll bet you, folks, we all have too much. Our clutter, our storage, our holding on. We take these things and we hold them and we caress them and we love them and we kiss them. That's what we do. Degree went back to Africa and is principal. So every year when he comes, I make sure that I go into my little closet where he's much thinner than I am, but we're within shooting distance of the same size. So I go into my closet and I get out some stuff. So Friday, I went in after dinner and I start picking out this suit. Well, you know, if I just lost 10 pounds, I better keep that, you know, because it's a real nice suit. Some shirts, well, you know, it's got the insignia of this great golf club. I don't think I'm going to give that away. That voice inside me was resisting. And I've got more things for 4 lifetimes. I don't need it. So what Matthew got on Saturday morning was a suit that's, it's okay. A couple of shirts and a couple of sweaters. But it wasn't my best. What do we need? How much do you have to have? So I think that's one thought. And my last thought. Thursday, I had the great privilege of going out to Saddleback. Saddleback is a community that I've admired. So don't get excited or mad at me, because the theology of Saddleback and the theology of St. Monica's, there are differences, certainly. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about their pastoral practice. Rick Warren has done an extraordinary work in that community. If you haven't seen it, folks, it's breathtaking. So we went out, 6 Catholic pastors from across the country. Bill Simon is supporting this new initiatives. We went out and met with 35 evangelical and mainstream Protestant pastors in what is now our Lenten practice from time to time. On the Friday after Easter, he had spoken at 14 services through that week. He was sick as a dog. He had pneumonia because, you know, he's hugging thousands of people and preaching all this stuff, so he's really not well. Just decided to go on radio for the first time because he'd always resisted doing that. As popular as he is, never was on radio. And was going to take a sabbatical to write a new book because he hadn't written a book for several years. And he said that I could not imagine anything more tragic in life than to lose a son or daughter. And then to lose a son and daughter through suicide. It's horrible. Couldn't imagine anything more painful. And he went through that for 4 months. Did not speak. Went into seclusion. Spent that time trying to restore, trying to sort out. And he said, last Sunday he began his services and there he was on Thursday. He said, I gotta tell you, told us pastors. He said, I received so much care and love and prayers. And I was included in that. I prayed for him. And when we met on Thursday, we hugged each other and prayed together and cried together. And he said, I received so much love, so much care, so much support. I am so grateful. But he said, I got to tell you, there are a lot of people who hate me. And they took that occasion, imagine that, folks, to write, over-concerned about people thought of me. If I lived in the expectations of other people, I want to tell you, folks, I looked at that. I looked especially at the negativity and I said, if that's all you've got, bring it on. Because he said, I'm back and I'm fearless. My brothers and sisters, clutter is not just in our possessions. Clutter is in our hearts. We must pray together this night that God will take from us the clutter of our hearts. Hearts that are full of the expectations of people that we will never meet. Who cares what they think about me? But we do. Hearts that are so involved in so many things that are meaningless. And yet they are the object of our affection and our great care of our God.